Welcome back to Orphan Black, the next chapter after show at AfterBuzz TV. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. We're so excited to be talking about this episode. Helena is back in full force, baby. And we have the clones and the Sestras and the cousins all separated on different sides of the spectrum. A lot to break down. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, Clone Club? Welcome back. I hope you feasted your little clone hearts away. I'm so excited to be breaking down Chapter 9 with you all. What a great, great episode. So much. We have more characters than ever playing a role in one episode. So it's so exciting. Before we get into it, I'm Steph Sabra, Orphan fan, mega fan from the beginning. Orphan Black. I said orphan fan.
Yes.
Orphan Black mega fan.
I bet you do love orphans.
Yeah, I do.
I bet you don't have anything against orphans.
Yeah,
I'm sure you loved Annie as a child.
Of course. Miss Hannigan can go straight to hell. And to my left, I'm joined by such an all-star panel. Matt Maher, he was on our original Orphan Black After
Show.
Hello, hi. And he's just the best. You'll hear his funny anecdotes about the show.
Happy to be here.
And Shiksha Maithani, she is a Tatiana Maslany super fan and Orphan Black fan as well. And we just love this show. And it is episode 9, but for some reason, if you don't know what we're talking about, we are talking about the next chapter of Orphan Black brought to us by Cereal Box. And Matt has more information on that.
Yes, the story continues with the official ebook and audiobook. So you readers out there, if you're like Steph, you can read it too. Narrated by Emmy Award winner Tatiana Maslany. You can get the next chapter of Orphan Black by downloading the Cereal Box app. It's a little bit.ly link, and that will be in the show notes. You can find that. New episodes drop every Thursday. Now, this might be a good time we can find out if maybe somebody in the chat, come at us if you know. We originally thought there was only going to be 10 episodes, but so I don't know if they're taking a break and then starting more episodes, but we've heard rumblings that there's going to be more episodes after this. What I'm saying to you out there is we don't fully know, but we are going to be back for episode 10. We will find out. And so next week, we'll have some little news to share with you with that.
Yeah. Shout out Cereal Box. We love you.
We do.
And they have a lot of other really cool shows that they've been launching. Mm-hmm. So just take a look at their website. So much fun stuff. And we have fun stuff, too. We're going to be breaking down the episode per usual, kind of where the clones, the Sestras are at. Mm-hmm. And this is an episode where there's very different storylines going on between the groups that we that are involved in this episode. And then we will do our special segment.
Yes,
Oh, Clone, you did it! This is our OMG moment of the episode. So we employ you all watching and listening at home to tell us your Oh, Clone, you didn't moment. That's the OMG jaw dropping to the floor, or just like the moment that made you be like, I love this show. And then we'll wrap it up with some predictions. But what were your overall thoughts of Chapter 9, Matt?
We were talking before, you were talking about, like, I think it's my favorite episode. I don't know. I really liked episode 3, but this ranks, like, this is up there. This, to me, was the first episode, more than anything, where I was like, I thought, I want to see the TV show episode of this episode. It was very visual, and even the way it cut back and forth to different people's perspectives was so TV to me.
Yeah, I love this episode, too. We got so many more characters in this one, and it was just fun to see them interact with each other.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, we had more Helena this week, so I loved that. And even just having Felix in it and, you know, kind of as a throwback to the show that we all love. So,
yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It's good combos, you're right.
Felix and Helena are my favorite characters.
Yeah.
So,
wonderful.
Most entertaining, so to have them both is amazing.
Yes.
But like you were saying, Matt, I agree. This episode was especially that dream sequence that we got with Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I was totally in it.
That would have been so great.
So
to
great.
See that.
There were so many episodes where, and just shout out to the writers, Michelle Baker and EC Myers. We've had EC Eugene Myers Skype into the show. Shout out you guys. Great job of just
holla at Eugene.
Yeah, making this world so visible, even though it's audiobooks.
Yeah.
So let's dive right into our first group, where I think let's let's first attack the Dana, Vivi, Felix, Helena, and the team. Because last episode we left off, we knew that some of them were going to team up to get Kira and
Emily.
That was a great opening scene. There was so much tension, and where we didn't know who was meeting them in this snowmobile, but it ends up being our friendly people. But I want to talk about the connection that's instantly seen by everyone between Emily and Kira and kind of the reunion of it all.
I mean, y'all have been there, right?
Yes.
I mean, we have all, because it's so, look, Kira is young and she's thinking like, nope, like nobody gets that like Em and I are hot for each other. Like it's so underground. But we have all been there where we're just like, I've been there where I think some guy I'm crushing on, it's totally, and then everybody's like, you want to get in his pants. And I'm like, how do you know that? You know what I mean? When you're scandalized. So I don't know. I loved that what I loved about that is that here is probably, this is the most action-packed episode because really, everything's kind of coming to a head. Like, we're getting, you know, Kurtzman's, like, you know, that evil villain talking about his diabolical plan. It's like that episode. Yet in the midst of it, we have what I love about Orphan Black, and the show has always had, this could be the most dramatic moment, and they bring in this bit of humanity that just makes you feel connected to the situation and these characters. Mm-hmm. And then, again, what a great way for Helena to, like, just call it out.
Hello, Snowflake.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was so true to her character, too, when Helena called them out. And Felix was like, we talked about this.
That was great.
Yeah, that was, I laughed out loud. I think that was one of my favorite moments this episode. Because it, again, just threw it, gave, it was like a throwback to the show we all love. But
Sorry, go ahead. But I have a question when you're done.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, my question is for both of you, because I thought about this when I was listening. I was like, oh, I'm going to ask the ladies.
Spill the tea.
So when Helena says, like, she says, you know, she's like, more than friends, and then Felix says something. She's like, well, that was not my first
thought. Yeah.
What do you think her first thought was? Because we don't know.
I've been thinking about this.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Well, it's time to spill it.
I think it was just more explicit. Like, you guys are for sure dating.
Yeah.
But she went for the second.
So you think it was about them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think so?
What do you think, Shiksha?
I think it was about them, but it was more explicit. And this was like the more doing PG.
It.
Yeah, this is the more PG thing that she could say.
Okay.
So, you know, because Helena's crazy. You'd never know. I think what it was about Vivi. So.
That's what I think. I mean, we'll find out later, but I think
that's first
thought.
Talk about that. The tension between Vivi and Helena, which we see throughout the episode, eases a bit when they have a mutual respect for one another. Because Helena, if you're a trained CIA operative and you see Helena, the most gritty, close to psychopathic without me actually being a psychologist and claiming that she's something, person alive. And
I am a psychologist. She's batshit crazy, y'all. That's my clinical opinion, and I love her for it.
So I would totally see them butting heads, but at the end of the day, it is hard when you look exactly alike to not have some sort of just underlying empathy towards one another.
Yes.
Yeah. I honestly wish we could have gotten some more of their car ride together and that build-up tension between them, just because I think it would have been funny, but...
I think if it was a TV show, we would have
seen it, And so I think, for me, I was just imagining what that would have been like on the TV show. Mm-hmm. But they're just such opposites. But Helena should know how to handle Vivi, because she is so much like Sarah that...
She is.
Right? So you would think that she could kind of handle it, but obviously she's been away for a while and... is getting irritated by Vivi and her.
Yeah.
Of course, and I love that Vivi, I don't get it. Like, a normal person would be like, hey, like, I'm a CIA operative. Like, I got this. Let me handle this.
Yeah.
And so, like, Vivi is all like, step down, Helena. We're going to follow my plan. We've got this under control. And literally, see what I wrote when I listened to that on my iPad? I literally wrote, bitch, you don't know. You don't know. Because, like, you don't know.
You don't get Helena.
And I thought, and I saw that, and I literally went, ooh, this is going to come back, and it's going to be amazing. Which, spoiler alert, it did. We'll get to that later. So, yeah. But Thank you, because I thought I would mean it was like Vivi is crazy, but then y'all make a good point. In the real world, I would be like, let's listen to the CIA operative.
I know, but Helena is the get shit done operative.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not legal and it's not pretty, but she will handle business.
Gets it done.
Exactly.
But Vivi is such an interesting character, and I hope we continue to explore her. And we talked a little bit about this last episode, especially when she has that realization of these lives that each of the clones have had and how full they are and how human they are. And her entire childhood was essentially erased and doesn't really understand herself and her upbringing. But I said last week, and I feel the same way when I heard Dana talking, or even the relationship between Vivi and Helena, is that she has so much more in common with them than they think. All of them just found each other 8 years ago. Before that, most of their lives were very confusing and very messed up. So I think it would really help her, but we're getting the very surface level because they're dealing with mosquito droids, which I think I am under the weather. I think some have stung me, actually.
That's it. Maybe that's it. Well, I also think, you know, when we first started this, I think I even said this. I was like, oh, Vivi is such a Sarah character. But they really have, like, yes, there's aspects of Sarah, but they've really done a good job of writing where she is a little Helena. Like, she's a little Helena. She's a little Sarah. Like, they're not making copies. Like, they really have done a good job of making, and even, like, with Dana, like, making these clones that are, there already were so many. So you're like, how do you create someone with such a distinct personality that we actually get to see that in 10 episodes and don't feel like you're just, you know, like, making the second generation of the same type of characters.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So, mad respect.
Especially with, I was thinking that when Helena was talking, all I can think of is these are such full body individual characters.
That was said way better than I said it. Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to say.
I love you. Let's talk about Dana, though, because Dana gave us some insight into herself and Vivi at the same time by saying, I know, Vivi was my homie, my cousin forever, and she doesn't remember me. And I'm like, how do you really think she just doesn't remember you? At what age were you split up? I would be like, she obviously had something done to her or something.
I would thought so, too. I was like, you know, I'm pretty forgetful. But I would remember being raised with people.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think something was done?
Vivi does kind of remember, but not fully.
No, she thinks they were imaginary.
Imaginary. But that's just because her parents, like, I don't even know
but
how
I'm
to say it.
Maybe
like
she was, like,
but maybe she was brainwashed. Well, yeah, Dana remembers. Dana, they've always remembered Vivi.
I know. It's just weird for Dana to give her the excuse of maybe that she forgot. But if you're not, I feel, because we know how crazy their lives are, we're like, of course, I jump to the worst conclusion, not the best, that she forgot. Mm-hmm. It's obviously the worst that her parents made up a whole story.
Well, they manipulated her, right? The parents manipulated her. So, and we don't really know why yet or how that happened. And I'm kind of hoping we get to know, you know, especially if next episode is the last for a while. I want to know.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. I want to know, you know, what her deal is and why she was separated.
I think we'll find out.
Well, and then, you know, this is spoiler alert, but then I kind of didn't, when the episode ended, I thought, wait, the episode, like, they got the bad guy. The episode's kind of like, surely the episode's not going to end just chill. And, you know, kind of everything wrapped up in a bow. And then, of course, Vivi bolts at the end.
I know. Why don't we break down their whole storyline, this group? Because we're already on it, and there's only a little bit more of it, which was the meat of the episode, I would say. But their whole goose hunt of people being in Nazweenek. I kept rewinding it.
Now
the village under attack.
I should read the book and find out.
And I love the opening where we kind of have, I feel like they summarized what happened last episode in three sentences. The world knows about the clone. Scientists try to wipe out Nazwegen to test their weapon. And Sof-Ter is dead, and that's haunting Kira and Em still. So we got a little bit of a callback to that. So we know that they're there on the ground to test this weapon, and... And our pals are trying to stop it, and it brings about even more chemistry bonding between Kira and Em. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that whole build-up? We have Helena and Vivi on one end fighting the helicopter people, and then we have Em, Kira, and Dana on the other side. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of those two scenes going on?
I thought it was cute to see Em and Kira like work together. I mean... Yeah. I liked the comparison to Delphine and Cosima. I think they compared them for a minute, right, in the episode.
Oh, yes, they did.
Yeah, that was so cute. I liked that.
So cute.
Yeah. Because it's true. We've seen Cosima and Delphine work well together in, you know.
Really well.
Yeah, crisis moments. And now we're seeing Em and Kira, and I think that's just amazing.
They're so badass together. She's like, well, we should do this. And then that, and then that. And I was like, how old are you? What have I done with my life?
I mean, I was eating Doritos and playing video games when I was their age. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And they're solving droid problems.
I know, right?
Hashtag no goals. That was me.
But yeah, so I liked the way that they handled this whole storyline, having it split up. I liked even having Dana pair up with Kira and Em. It just kind of gave her more... you know, importance to the story almost. Mm-hmm. And I especially loved Helena chasing Greg around in the snow. That was so good.
That whole dialogue in her head when she's just thinking to herself, what an idiot. I've led him in circles and he thinks he's leading this chase.
Yeah. Legal worm. That is probably one of my favorite things about this is that it's especially when we've been inside Rachel and we've been inside Helena's head because we never know what's in their head.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Helena doesn't talk
on TV.
A lot. So we just kind of get this. So I love that we're getting their thoughts. Yes. I love that.
I agree. The narration of what they're doing is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably hit Art and Jayasara.
Yeah, Jayasara.
I just call it Jayasara. Also, we found out that she's talking about her sons, and they were in the Yukon, and they're, like, finding food each night. I was like, oh, I want to meet the boy.
Me too.
And I forgot that it's Art and Donnie. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh.
That was a cool moment for me, too, because I forgot the kids' names.
Yeah.
And then she said it.
Yeah.
So cool. But I also love the dimension of Helena being, even though she was probably the most tortured out of everyone, and English is a second language, and family is a second language as well to her. She doesn't understand, but when Vivi's trying to talk to her, she's like, we're family regardless. Yeah. Sorry to say. Sorry to tell you. So
And I take care of my family, bitch.
Yes, she does.
So don't come into my house, because I'll burn you down.
She will. She's done it before.
She's done it before.
But that leads us to the end of this scene where they kind of all end up colliding in the same space with the village people. Mm-hmm. Felix is
not
over here.
Not the band, the actual village people the village.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
But gay joke. All right.
Felix is in natural Felix form, fly swatting things, doing an ice skating figure dance. But he's trying to tell. Oh my goodness.
Sorry, people doing the podcast.
Amazing.
Jeff just put a picture of the village people. I wanted to say, and I feel like I can say this because I'm a pretty flamboyant gay man, and so is Felix. But I wanted to see this on TV too because, y'all, when gay men get scared by bugs, it's one of the funniest things ever because we're just like, and so I can imagine him with like a little, like, basically this sparkly electric thing. I bet that was so amazing to
so
see.
So amazing.
Yes.
But such a scary concept that they're sending out this disease via mosquitoes and trying to explain that to a group of people without being the crazy one.
You have to wake everybody up.
Yeah, what do you think they thought? Like when he's like running around and they're like, what the hell?
And they had an issue with Canadians, right, as well?
Yeah. What would you guys do if you were woken up in the middle of the night like that?
And someone said that. I believe them. I'm like...
You would?
Things are crazy right now, Jigja. You know,
in this day and age, I would. I'd be like, uh-oh, Cheeto Man's coming for me. Yeah. And I would be scared.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Things are scary.
You never know.
Yeah.
I think if someone earnestly woke an entire... If we were a village and woke an entire village up, and at the same time there was these creepy mosquitoes flying around, I mean, I'd pay some mind.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're basically like... Look, we're not on good terms with Russia. We're not. Did y'all see the opening Olympics when the Olympics were in China? Those were incredible. When I saw the opening Olympics, I turned to my roommate at the time and I said, they could kill us in our sleep and we would never know. They had people floating in the air. It was gorgeous. Like, we did China.
Way too advanced for a small-minded fool.
That's how you judge advanced civilizations, on how their Olympic openings. Like,
we'll
see
how we do in, 2024?
I know. We would just have, like, Sting Sing or somebody like that, and that would be fine, but it's not like what they did.
Yeah, we're going to have Beyonce, and then they're going to say,
which is great.
It's great, but it's she is the best we have.
I would be Beyonce being levitated in the air with, like, robotic children flying around her to compete with China.
Yeah.
Drones are real.
Can I just say that I was really upset when they were more concerned with the clones instead of the little thing, mosquitoes that are going to kill them?
That's humans.
Oh, my God. I was like, you guys, get over it already.
We are
more
scared of people who share 99.999999% DNA with us than drones.
That's so dumb.
I am not, but on the whole. But
when people act through fear, which is exactly what a lot of abusive governments want to do, is instill fear in people. Mm-hmm. It is so easy to point targets at people because we're easy to fall for.
Because these people are already, they already have this problem with their salmon. Like, they already are on guard. They already don't trust people.
Yeah.
So if the thing that you can, the best thing someone that wants to organize people through fear is give someone a name and a face for them to either, that's either going to be a savior, that I'm going to take all this away from you, or to point your, to literally point, this is where the fear is being, this person is causing the fear.
Exactly. I love how when they were trying to explain to the people that there's nothing to worry about, the clones, Helena comes in.
Yeah.
With blood on her face.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, just kidding.
Which, hashtag so Helena.
So Helena.
So Helena.
So we kind of wrap up there where the women end up on top, but Vivi runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where she went. What the hell is she doing?
I don't know.
I don't know. Can I also say, too, especially in this, I feel like in this segment, props to the sound editor and sound mixers, or whoever
all the
does
snow feet.
The Foley, I guess what that's called, Foley, the sound effects. But yeah, it just was such a good visual, like the sound of the hitting, and like there were some gunshots. And then I laughed because I thought, oh, somebody probably was just in a booth just screaming, going, ah! Because we heard the, you know, the people screaming in the town, but it was, I think that's why it was so visual to me.
Yeah, the sounds in this podcast are just killer.
Really walking,
yeah, it was so great.
I know, that's why me and Shiksha, we listened to it in the car, and I'm glad I did because I felt like I was immersed in in a different world, but then it was really hard for me to take notes.
You know, I focus more when I'm in the car, though.
Yeah,
because if I'm
too.
At home, you got something going on, you're looking at your Instagram or whatever.
Well, this isn't something you can listen to with even one headphone because you have sounds coming from
both. It's stereo.
Yeah.
If you are listening with one headphone,
you're missing out.
You're missing out, girl.
Missing out. So we kind of, we leave off there, and let's switch gears to the, there's so many characters left, but we can really quickly touch on.
That was the big chunk.
That was the big thing, a lot of action, which I loved and missed because so much of Orphan Black, the original series, was action-based. Mm-hmm. So, JSR and Art.
Oh, gosh.
Another heating up point.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have so much tension, and they have so much in common. And it's interesting because a life in law enforcement, which they talked about, I can't relate to. My parents are in law, so I get that pressure. But law enforcement's different when you're putting your body on the line like that. And then also when you get involved with government, like Art has, I can't imagine the pressure that they both feel. So it is kind of nice, and it makes sense that their characters confide in one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like them together. Initially, obviously, I wasn't sure if I liked or trusted Jayasura.
Which Art questioned, and I liked that.
It took me a while. Took me a while, too.
But now I'm liking her because I think she's good. I think her, you know, what she's doing is for good, and she wants to help the clones out. And she even had that moment when she was talking to Davis where she said, okay, who do I trust more, Vivi or Davis? And she said to herself, I trust Vivi more, which was kind of cool because now she's sort of siding with the clones.
Yeah, little by little.
I like her too. I like that. I feel like the difference of her and Vivi, speaking of, thank you for that segue. but I think Vivi is super competent, and she's like such a warrior, but also there's this feeling of there's a fragile ego there, and there's a feeling of I think she doesn't feel like either she's enough or she feels lost on her own identity. So I think that bravado that she has and kind of like the strut, I think a little of that is fake. She's putting on airs, which is sometimes what Sarah does, almost like, don't come for me. I'm going to make you scared of me first. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jessica, she's just like, I love the line when she was like, I'm good at my job and I know I'm good at my job. And Art was like, you are.
I need that confidence.
She just like owns who she is. She has the experience. I feel like it's just a nice feeling also to see that in a woman that they're just, yeah, this is who I am, and I know what the hell I'm doing, so just get out of the way and let me do it.
I agree, and I love the internal monologue she has about Art, because I think it confirms some of that ideas that Art, throughout his entire character arc, has never partnered with women and looked at them as women who can do the job. He just looks at them as people who can do the job. And I think that's a really important factor, one that I wish all men took into the workplace. We're working on it. But yeah, and I think that part of her saying that outwardly is what we all have to do as women, especially in that type of workplace when it's physical. You really have to be like puffing out your chest a little bit more and showing that you belong there. But and when she was talking about how sensitive he is, but also how kind of masculine he is in that protective sense. But it also proves that there's a way to be quote unquote masculine, have masculine traits, and not be a toxic dick.
Yeah, yes. I love that. I love that you said that. It's true.
No, I think there's this, I feel like we're starting to do this a little bit as society, but they do a great job of showing this on the show that to be quote unquote soft and feminine is actually, and be so confident of yourself as a woman is strength. Like, you don't have to be a quote-unquote bitch to be a strong woman. And so we're seeing that in these women. Because, you know, Jay's not, she's not being a dick about this. She's just very calm and, like, self, and she's like, I know what I'm doing. Like, but, and, you know, if this was written 10 years ago, you know what I mean? She probably would have been, like, a total dick to him and just been horrible, you know, and you're like,
overcompensating.
So we don't get that. And then in the men, I feel like in the men that are kind of like Art, we see that you can be, it's like when people would say like to me, they're like, oh, you want to have children one day. You have a maternal instinct. I'm like, no, I have a paternal instinct because men can want to have children. And I feel like he is such that, he's like a new age man.
Yeah, and it's such a great point. It's so crazy the labels that we put on people and then place it into how gender should, or gender roles, and that's why it's all.
And that he's a black man on top of this. That's 100%. Like a whole other
Whole other layer of oppression.
Who's like a great father who like isn't, you know, doesn't get, isn't just labeled as an angry black man. Yeah. Like, that's wonderful.
They do such a good job of making humans humans in this show. And but it leads to really bad things for Art. Yeah. They have a, they have like a shootout essentially almost with who
Davis.
Was Davis. But Davis has backup and now Art is screwed and he's trying to make this deal. Davis is trying to make this deal that he needs Vivi, which I get from his side, but no, we're not selling out any clones or sestras.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was saying is that I like that she now is siding with Vivian, the clones, mm-hmm. and is not willing to give up any information. I liked her little joke where, like, where he's saying, you know, where are all the clones? And mm-hmm. she says, well, just follow the reporters and the news vans. I mean, you know, I thought that was funny. But
and Davis is the one who was used to be in, who was had the wife in Boston? Or is
yeah,
that
correct?
Yeah,
he's the
okay.
CIA.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I just want to make sure I got it right. Yeah.
Of that division, right? The one overseeing those clones and stuff.
Mega dick.
Yeah.
Who sure. kind of literally is the opposite. If we remember how like he would think about his wife and the kind of stuff he would say.
Yeah.
He's such a misogynist.
Yes.
Yeah. I really hate him.
So yeah. we'll see what happens die. With that. But I you mean, think, Christina was taken and she's got out.
Yeah,
we
she
always
got
get
out.
Our fam out.
Yeah, but what they want in exchange is the bioweapon. So what are they going to do? You know, what is mm-hmm. she going to do? Is she going to take it to the clones or is it?
If I'm anyone in this show,
okay.
I'm pulling Helena everywhere I go.
Yes. Oh.
For sure.
You are not losing if Helena. Helena is the
Bring
LeBron
Helena, yeah.
of Orphan Black.
I love that.
I even get that sports reference.
I don't think any of us watch sports.
Well, my boyfriend loves LeBron and watch it, so that's why.
I respect it. Okay, so let's close out with our last set of family members. We have Charlotte, who mm-hmm. is getting back her health after quite a scare. And she admits to Sarah, Cosima, and Delphine that it was her and Kira who outed the entire family.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. I just
we knew
we
it.
We already knew that.
Yeah.
This was actually my favorite scene in the whole thing.
Really?
Shockingly enough, yeah.
Talk
yeah.
about it.
Well, no, I liked it. Well, I'm sorry. Were you in the middle of something? I don't want to.
No, go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. I liked it that it was kind of all, except for Helena, but it was all the OG clones. So, and like Delphine. So it was kind
minus
of like.
Minus Helena.
I know I said minus Helena.
Yeah.
But it was Allison. It was like Sarah, Cosima, and Allison.
Yeah. Sarah, Cosima. That's
they're
who
like
started
the first
it.
Three.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so I love that, like they're in this conversation with Charlotte.
Helena took like 3 seasons.
Yeah, because remember Helena wanted to kill them.
All of them.
Yeah. Okay. You're
killed
right.
their birth.
Yeah. yeah.
I just love her so much. I forget
that poor woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. She killed the birth.
Yeah. That was. Okay, anyway.
No. Okay, so we don't speak on old Helena.
Yes. We went in. Yeah, she it's different.
She's at a higher place.
She's at a higher place, yeah. Forget
she's better now, okay?
No, bygones are bygones. But it, so I love that there was this, because really it was such a good bookmark in that these three women that decided together to fight together to keep this a secret are hearing this from Charlotte. So, and I loved that, you know, we didn't really know their reasoning, but I love that Charlotte was brought a good rationale. And then, I mean, and y'all can talk about that more too. I don't want to take all of that. But I just want to say, again, I loved that it was such an adult conversation. And I think women do this often better than men. Where
true.
I love the line where Cosima, well, y'all are the better species. Totally official.
Totally official.
Official. Sorry. But they are, y'all. The fact of, like, it was a line that Cosima said when she said, she basically said, I'm really angry at you, but I also love you and I want to listen to you. And mm-hmm. I think that in this society, we forget to hold both things when we're upset with people. And
that's beautiful.
I mean, that's been such a good thing for me in my own personal relationship with my partner of, like, me saying, I'm angry and I love you. I'm not going anywhere, but I am pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was such a beautiful balance in that. And we see, like, of course, out of all of them, Allison is the one, like, holding a peanut butter knife in rage. I don't know. That's why I love that scene. But
yeah.
What about y'all?
Okay. So I love that you said that you brought to our attention that it was the OGs and they were the ones who kept the secret. And now they're being told that why it was revealed. So I think that that's really symbolic and kind of cool when you say it like that. And I also agree that... regarding what Cosima said, it was a nice way to handle the situation. But I was really not okay with Charlotte's reasoning and why she did what she did. Just because she wasn't being heard to take that decision to go completely public, she's affecting hundreds of people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, how many kids feel that way about their parents? You know, it's not anything new. You sit down and you try to be heard. You try to have a conversation. There are other ways to handle it. But to go public with such a big secret that's now putting in life
and not
in
consult
danger.
Any of them.
Yeah, they didn't consult
like,
anybody
totally
at all.
Blind.
They just did it.
They've been asking them to go public.
And they've refused for their own reasons.
I don't disagree with your thoughts. I think that they weren't listening to them.
Yeah.
They didn't give them the honest. I think even for Allison's perspective, I have kids who aren't. And they'll never really understand. And I would I'm sure she would have appreciated them to have been out of the house before they have to deal with this. With that being said, I see both sides. I do think it was kids making kids mistakes.
It was, yeah, exactly. It was a little, it was immature, in my opinion.
Yeah, which is, that's so true. And you just, when your life is this, you're the immature mistakes, you know, it's like when you're Justin Bieber, the mistakes you make. Mm-hmm. Are bigger mistakes because you're having this type of life that's not like no, I'm not, I'm actually supporting what you're saying. Like made a mistake, but it's such a big mistake.
But I don't know if I'm gonna call it a mistake, because if we think about the people at play right now, Davis and Sturge, everyone that's been involved, mm-hmm. we are messing with really high powers. And if they aren't known to the world as clones, no one would care about these women's disappearances.
That's true.
That's true.
But they've dealt with so much other crap in the past. So now to go public, that was a decision that had to be made as a whole because it affects so many people. So for them, parents are always telling their kids, you know, you don't understand. I can't. You just have to trust me. This is for what's best for you. And that's exactly what was happening here, that they didn't explain their reasoning, but they just said, no, we know what's best and this is too dangerous. But they were just being immature teenagers and they decided to go public anyway. Mm-hmm. And now look what's happening. So you're in danger no matter which side you're on.
Yeah.
So now they're in danger for different reasons, but still, to be blindsided like that. And luckily, Sarah didn't go after Rachel, but she thought it was Rachel who had done it. So that could have created more problems. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think it was, I didn't like her reasoning. I think that, yes, they should have continued to show Charlotte that they do love her and they're not going to turn their backs on her. But she needs to be punished or something, you know, like disciplined. Because what's to stop her from doing something that big in the future?
I don't know if she needs to be punished because I think she's getting it. I think what she's experienced now
she
with
got
all
a
of
disease.
Them.
That's true, too. That's true, too. I was just...
That's not right. That's not right.
I guess you're right. But, like, I don't know. I was just upset with the way the kids handled it.
And
even the accepting nature of the adults, it was just, I understand being accepting, but also there should have, I don't know, it was lacking something.
Kids learn, for the most part, I mean, there are social media, but kids learn through the modeling of their caretakers of who raises them.
Mm-hmm.
And so here they have caretakers, their moms, their aunts, who, guess what? Aren't listening to them at all, that are just doing what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I think she did that as a response, but also she did that because she's been taught, well, you just do what you think is the right thing without consulting other people. Because that's kind of what they've been doing. So it's just, and so what hopefully in this conversation, they modeled a little bit more of, hey, I'm listening to you, I'm trying to understand you. Because on the surprise of me of the whole scene was how quickly Sarah turned around. Like when Sarah like really sat down with her and I was like, okay, again, like we think of Sarah as 8 years ago and this really is a Sarah who has grown. Mm-hmm. And I love that Sarah had this realization of, crap, we have been doing this to you because that is what was done to me, what I did with S. Because S was horrible about this.
Yeah,
and then here now she's done that and now Kira's doing the same thing to her. So I'm hoping maybe like it'll break open the cycle of it, at least. I mean, do y'all think it's a good thing that it's public now or no?
Yeah, I think it'll end up being a good thing in the only way that saves them.
Yeah, I'm torn. I don't know, because I think in the long run, maybe there's the possibility that it'll be good. But it could go either way. You know, it could be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to have people after them. I don't know. I'm not sure.
We'll just have to see.
We're going to have to see.
In the meantime, let's get into our special segment.
Oh, Clone, you did it!
Shiksha, you want to start us off?
Okay. I had two. The first one was Helena with her sons teaching them survival tactics. Okay. I thought that was amazing. And the other one was just Kira and Felix's reunion when she, like, slammed into him and hugged him. And that whole scene was just, I don't know, it's your jerker, you know?
That was a good scene.
Yeah, right? I loved it.
I think mine would be, I mean, mine, I think mine has to be of just, it's almost not one scene. It's all just all Helena. Hearing her.
That's mine too.
Hearing her all chase Helena. The guy in the snow. But then when she comes out at the end.
Out of nowhere. She's like the, what is it, Revenant? Reverent?
No, the Revenant, yeah.
Revenant. I feel like she's just like a mangled.
And it's like blood. Or
everything about her is amazing.
What she just did, though, I literally fist pumped. I went, yes, in my car. So
I love her.
I loved her
when
for
she
that.
Hopped out of the car. Yeah, when she hopped out of the car and said, hello, snowflake.
See, that was good.
So I was just sold from there. Yeah. Even our producer, Jeff Graham, in the booth, he doesn't watch a show. We're trying. He will watch it and he'll love it, we know. And then he'll listen to this audiobook. But he walked and he said, what do you say? So how's Helena?
How's Helena?
We didn't even know,
know
but he knows. That she's the
I just
the
knew
rock.
The Helena energy was strong.
Yes.
It was strong.
People talk about BDE. We had BHE in the studio. Total BHE in the studio.
Completely. Oh, completely.
It's all about Helena.
It is all about her.
Well, let's oh, and
look at that picture.
A reminder,
you guys.
Helena's, if you're listening to us, hello. Give us those 5 stars, but also you can check us out on YouTube because we just showed a great picture of Helena.
Yeah.
And if you're on YouTube, give us that like, leave us a comment with your O'Clone You Did It moment in the comments.
We will
as well.
Respond to those.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's wrap this up with some predictions.
Sure. All right.
Matt, your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Oh, it's new. It's new.
Matt, you want to hit us off?
My prediction is I'm trying to think about where Vivi went. So my prediction is I think we're going to get a Vivi and Helena. Like, we're going to get a Vivi and Helena fight. Like, a physical fight.
What?
Like, she's going to run
off. Oh, yeah, now that
Helena,
she ran away.
Like, maybe
Helena's
she'll come
dragging
back around,
her by her lace like, front.
Yeah, I feel like Helena's going to be like.
But where is Vivi?
We don't know, but I think when they find her, Helena is going to. That's what I think.
I wouldn't complain because any scene with Helena. Okay, my predictions. I think Vivi. I don't know, actually. I have no idea where she is. I don't have
I have no idea either.
I mean, she's still running.
She's running, but they're in the village, and where would she go?
Oh, wait. Is she going to get the weapon? Because remember she says, like, in 4 episodes ago, she said, like, the only way she knew how to keep herself safe was to be in control of the weapon?
Oh.
Remember when she's on the train and she sees her reflection? That's where she's going!
Oh, my God. You got
I
it.
Just
oh,
saw it.
Yes. And then what will Jessera do about Art? I think that she will go to the
They're
clones.
They're going
to...
She'll
link up with Cosima and Sarah.
Yeah.
And that...
now she knows who they are and they trust each other.
Because Sarah especially loves Art. So I think once Sarah finds out, she's going to be
it's game over.
What team is going to go after Art?
That team?
Okay. Yeah,
Sarah, Delphine, Cosima.
That's what I think, too.
And Allison, maybe?
Yes. I want some Allison.
It's going to be fun.
By the way, when they were describing Helena coming out and she was wearing fur, I went, oh, wait, is Crystal here?
Oh, yeah, we got a little bit of Crystal.
Also, maybe Rachel. Unfortunately, we do have to wrap.
We do.
But we will see you all back next week. In the meantime, Shiksha, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on all social media platforms at I Am Bolly Girl. That's B-O-L-L-Y Girl. I'm on 6 after shows. I talk about Bollywood news, so go check it out.
She has a really good Instagram, by the way. It's it's kind of joyous and fun.
Mood?
Yes. Mine is just depressing. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's not.
You can find me at the Matt Marr, 2 T's, 2 R's on Instagram and Twitter.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabraw, S-A-B-R-A-W. Until next week, much love, Clone Club!
Bye,
Clone Club!
I'm Los Estras.
Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.